Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Welcome to The Froth, a place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable, a spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband, Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife, Shan Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is
The Froth. Yesterday's non-news today.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The headlines this week. Special guest Nabil Abdulrashid gets challenged to a proper old-school duel.
Woman left in stitches by odd love note and gift left at door by secret admirer.
It's a very odd gift. Nabil Abdulrashid tells us a hair-raising story about his school days in Nigeria, and it will blow your mind.
And also, a man breaks into a house and poos in someone's kettle.
And finally, tonight.
And also.
It'd be great if they did that and use it to.
I know.
That was the end,
and finally tonight. And those are the headlines.
Right, this is episode 40 of The Froth. Welcome, Sean Harris, co-host.
Hello.
Welcome, Barry Castagnola, producer. It is episode 40.
That's
some say life begins at 40.
Yeah.
Some do say life begins. Who says that?
People who are 40.
My dad's got it on a pinny that he got for his 40th birthday.
In which he cooks his fry-ups.
When he opened it, when he was 40, and I was, how old was I when he was 40? 10? And I just remember everyone going, God, that's so witty. Show them your apron.
Life begins at four. My dad, of course, your dad can cook a steak. He cooks a good steak, your dad.
Yeah, he does.
Have I told you about my dad cooking steak, Barry? We'll get special guest Nabil Abdulrashid on in just a moment. But in the meantime, I'll just tell you very quickly about my dad cooking steak, because my dad was pretty much blind. At his best, he had these massive bottle glasses on and he could see about 6 inches. At his best. But he used to love cooking steak. R.I.P. my dad. But
He used to
fry steak on the top of the hob. For some reason, he would get really close up his head, really like hovering just above the steak to watch it cooking, to see that it was cooking all right, see the colouring, to check that it was all cooking. He'd be watching going, how is this happening? This man has got his head practically in the frying pan, and I can see the fat spattering out to the side of his head. So what? And then he would kind of come up. He'd sort of come up and look at you, and his glasses would just be absolutely spattered in hot fat. Absolutely just spattered, weren't they?
Yeah, totally smeared with grease.
And how do you like to cook your steak?
They were so big, they were like protective goggles.
He's old school, he used to do it very well done.
In which case, even less reason to get up so close. Like, if you like it particularly a medium rare, but, you know, just a little bit of pink, then you go, you need to keep an eye on that. If you're going done, just stand back, let it go.
Just put the hob on and go downtown for a bit.
Also, Also, if you like it like really rare and stuff, then at least your face is only in the pan for about 20 seconds.
Yeah. And it doesn't even need to be that hot.
He was in there for 7.5 minutes each side. Now then, it is episode 40. Life begins at 40. Special guest Nabil Abdul Rashid coming on in just a moment. Just before that, very quickly, what are we up to this week? Anybody want to plug anything before we get our special guest on? What are you up to?
I've been writing some sketches, some Welsh language sketches for my sketch show, which is on at the end of the year. I co-write it with two wonderful men called Tudur Owen and Gareth Gwynn.
And the show is called Or Diwedd.
Or Diwedd.
And people can catch that
so
on S40.
It'll be online as well. And subtitles if you
subtitled fancy it. Into yeah. English for your pleasure. I am on tour at the moment, coming up that tomorrow night. Let's get my tour diary up.
Why not?
I'm exhausted. Absolutely exhausted. I've been on tour for the last few days, and my tour manager has been in bed with COVID. I haven't seen him for weeks, but he's been on the mend. But I've been having to drive myself and do the show, and I'm absolutely on my knees. It's going to be a great podcast. Anyway, I have coming up 24th of October, I am in Aberystwyth. You can catch me in the Book of John tour show in Aberystwyth on Sunday the 24th. I'm in High Wycombe the next day, Monday the 25th. And then 26th of October, I am in Ipswich.
Can I just ask?
Beyond that, the 30th, I'm on, Barry, I've got another 70 dates to do. 30th of October, Weymouth. 31st of October, Bournemouth.
To some kind of list.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was going to ask, did whoever booked this tour have a map?
I'll tell you what the problem is.
Aberystwyth to High Wycombe to Ipswich, completely the other side of the country.
My agent's defence. Person who booked my tour. What happens is that these are shows that have been postponed. These shows were supposed to be happening 18 months ago. They've been postponed so many times that it's very difficult to get dates in venues that make sense.
Yeah, of course.
So there we are. I am in 24th of October, Aberystwyth, 25th, High Wycombe, 26th, Ipswich, 30th, Weymouth, 31st, Bournemouth. That takes us to November, and I'll cover that next week. Barry, what are you doing at the moment? Do you want to plug something?
No, not really. I'll tell you what I have been doing, which has been quite interesting. I'm at Up the Creek on the 22nd and 23rd, I believe.
Is that Up the Creek, Greenwich?
Up the Creek in Greenwich, yes. One of the finest comedy clubs in the country.
Well, there you go. You can catch Barry there. What date are you there, Barry?
I am there on the 22nd and the 23rd. Yeah, 22nd and 23rd of October.
Right, that is the shameless plugging section of the show over with. Let's bring
one more plug, just to remind people to go to YouTube.
Go to YouTube.
Yeah, we're sticking more and more videos on the YouTube channel. It's some exclusive stuff.
We put little clips out on social media and other places, and then longer action-packed clips on YouTube for your delectation. You can get them there. And that is the shameless plug-in section of the show with Lettuce. Finally, at last, please, let me bring on our very special guest, all the way on Zoom, Nabil Abdul Rashid. Off Britain's Got Talent.
Woo!
Hi.
It's not often we get a genuine talented person on this podcast, no offence.
Oi. I'm a regular co-host.
No offence to either of the people sitting next to me, Sean Harris and Barry Castagnola. But Nabil, we don't often get somebody
proper greatness
with a great British talent.
Yeah.
On this show. You were on that programme, of course. Now, stand-up comedy, you've been on Growing Pains on my Comedy Central show, which is where I sort of came across you and got you involved in this, the Froth Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me down, man. It's a pleasure.
Whereabouts in the world are you, Nabil? Is that a house, a flat? Where are you?
So my flat in Croydon, South London, the magical land of
nice.
Mm.
What I mean, you're wiggling your eyebrows in a way that I get the sense we're supposed to understand, but I've got no idea what you're talking about.
No,
it's the magical world of wiggly eyebrows. What's going on?
Oh, I puzzle everyone. My ways are a mystery.
The mystique.
Yeah, you said it's the magical world of, and then you just wiggled your eyebrows,
in
a sort of slightly suggestive way.
Suggestive? Are you suggesting I suggested something?
Yeah, I'm suggesting you suggested something, but I don't know what it was, mate. Now then, Nabil, what have you been up to? Restrictions are easing, of course. They're in Croydon in London. Are you back on stage? What's happening at the moment?
The stand-up side of things, you know, it's been mental. Since the restrictions were lifted, I think I went about 6 weeks gigging every day. sometimes three, four what? Times in a day. You wow. know
what?
Yeah, yeah.
You'd be gigging three or four times a day.
I didn't even think it was possible. I honestly didn't know there were that many gigs. It turns out you just have to be on TV, and then all of a sudden,
it turns out you just have to be willing to do any fucking gig you're offered.
Well, there's that too. You know, there's that, and having the agent just holding your kidnapped cat at gunpoint, you have to do it.
I'm going to fetch some frothy stories to run past you. Here on The Froth, that's what we do. We find we find some shit non-stories from around the world, and I read them to you. We see what you think. At the end of it, you choose which one you thought was the biggest waste of your time. That's how it works. You happy with that?
Yeah.
All three stories will waste your time.
Massively.
But you've got to decide which of the three stories is the biggest waste of time, all right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's the first one. It's a story about a secret admirer.
Oh, I like this already.
Good. Woman left in stitches, it says.
Ooh.
By odd love note and gift left at door by secret admirer. Right?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
Have you ever had a secret admirer in a bill?
Unfortunately, yes. I've had.
Was it? Is this somebody you can talk about?
Did you know who they were?
No, they were secret, John.
Yeah, no, but eventually.
Oh, eventually. Did you find out who the secret admirer?
I mean, I've had one, but it wasn't the cool kind. Like, it was some guy in North London who, like,
Right.
What did he do to Bill?
Are you all right to talk about this?
He would message me every day telling me how great I was. And at first, that's great. But then after a while, I'm like, brother, you know, you have issues. Like, maybe you should stop smoking or something, you know, like, go outside. And like, he just kept on, I need to meet up with you. I need to meet up with you. I need to meet up with you. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to block this guy, but I'm blocking this guy. So I blocked him on Facebook. And then from nowhere, he started making all these accounts that he'd messaged me from. And one day, he made 17 different accounts. Like across, just to send me abuse because I blocked him.
Oh, mate. And,
oh, dear.
That's intense.
It's taking a dark turn.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it was so weird, right? And then to make matters worse, he started messaging my friends, telling them to tell me to unblock him because he was sorry.
Oh, then, wait.
Afterwards, this psycho challenged me to a duel. This guy challenged me. Like, this guy was a few loaves short of a sandwich. This guy challenged me to a duel and then called up a promoter saying that, he was coming after the show to fight me. Then, an hour later, called up the promoter of the show and said, I have a family event today. Could you tell Nabil that I have to postpone our appointment?
What? So hang on, he wanted to postpone.
Let me ask you a couple of questions.
He wanted to postpone the duel because he had a family event. Is that right?
Like, so Nabil, I still want to beat you up, but...
I've got family, they're coming around.
I want to know, did he actually use the words, I challenge you to a duel?
Or
yes,
that...
he goes!
Proper old school, yeah? Proper old school. Dawn, was it 6 a.m, 5 a.m, what time of year was it? Was it a dawn?
What I don't get is this. How does I challenge you to a duel? This dude was 24. Like, how?
It's not Jacob Rees-Mogg, was it? What I want to know is, why would you challenge a comedian to a duel? Everybody knows we don't get up till lunchtime. This woman has had nothing compared to your experience. This woman in the story. Woman, right? Eleanor Holland, her name is. Right? Eleanor Holland found a white envelope left at her front door, containing a love note and a very odd choice of snack wrapped in a sandwich bag.
Oh, God.
In an attempt to win her heart. Let's see what it was.
Have you ever had a secret admirer?
Oh, good.
Have I ever had a secret admirer? No, I don't think I have.
I had a Valentine's card once sent to me by somebody.
But they're always secret. They don't count.
Yeah, but it's quite creepy. And it just stank.
They're always secret Valentine's
cards.
It stank
of links. It stank of links.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with spraying a bit of links on it.
No, it wasn't a bit. It was like, do you know what I mean? When I opened the card, it was like, oof. It made me cough.
Yeah. A woman was left baffled, it says.
Yeah.
When she found a love note left at her door by a secret admirer, along with the offering of two jumbo Frankfurter sausages in a sandwich bag.
Two!
So you've woken up, you've gone to the front door, there's a sandwich bag...
with two Frankfurters.
With a note. The note says, I will always love you.
Obviously.
Right? Written in blue pen, along with two hot dog sausages.
Right. Had he, though, had this... Oh, I'm assuming it's a man. Had this person just left the hot dog sandwich, you know, hot dogs, by accident, with the note?
Well, we don't know.
Going on, so when he was off somewhere else with the sausages.
It says here, Eleanor Holland was alerted to a white envelope left outside the front door of her home in Barnoldswick, Lancashire, when it was spotted by a neighbour on Saturday morning. The 25-year-old insists she has no idea who would leave her such a bizarre declaration of love, but says she expects it may be... A, and this is inverted commas, town bachelor.
What?
A town bachelor.
What's a town bachelor?
The bachelor of the town.
The town bachelor.
Yeah. No, a town
bachelor. Like the town crier.
Like a town crier, but a town bachelor. That is somebody on the hunt for love, she says.
That's a fair assumption.
Who leaves sausages?
We've got a picture of the sausages there. Her partner, 32-year-old Adam Greenway, has thankfully not felt threatened by the bold attempt to steal his girlfriend. And Eleanor said the gift has left them in fits of laughter rather than feeling uneasy. I don't know, it is. I'd feel a bit uneasy, I think.
Were they cooked?
Right?
Were they cooked?
I mean,
I don't know. She posted a photo of the love package on a local Facebook group, writing, and some will still argue romance is dead. Show Rosie, shut up. Rosie. Well, it is. Rosie's heard talk of sausages.
Yeah, she'd love them. Isn't it, darling?
She was miles away down the garden there, and then she's just heard talk of two sausages, the love package, and in she's come. That is.
She's also gone over to her boat.
At least some lady appreciates it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, Eleanor, yes, she is. Right. Now then, so she's found two Frankfurter sausages outside her door.
Right.
In a plastic bag, if you remember. She works. She works as a support worker for young people. She said, I'm pretty sure it's not anybody I know. I've asked everyone. I've even asked Adam. That's her boyfriend.
I've asked everyone.
There might be a town bachelor going round. She's obsessed with this idea of a town bachelor. I don't know who he is.
Who leaves sausages outside people's doors?
The Rosie's licking my leg. She's so taken with the idea of the sausages. Rosie, get out. There were two jumbo hot dogs you get in glass jars. I threw them away because I didn't want to give them to the dog in case it was a crazy person trying to poison him. I tell you what, a minute ago it was really romantic. She was going, and who says romance is dead?
Yeah.
And next sentence. There were two jumbo hot dogs. I threw them away in case I didn't want to give them to the dog in case it was a crazy person trying to poison him.
Right.
My neighbour was quite worried about it. I tell you what, she flits back and forth, this
she
woman.
She does, doesn't she?
Right? She goes, my neighbour was quite worried about it, but I reassured her. It was probably a joke and she shouldn't worry.
Except my dog may be murdered if I give them to the dog, so...
Yeah. This is what... She's not sure how to take it. That's what's happened here with old Eleanor. She says, my boyfriend was quite shocked. It says, but now we've all seen the funny side. It's just a bit of fun. And then she adds, rather tellingly, I hope it's nothing more than that anyway. This woman is fucking shitting herself, let's face it.
What would you do, Nabil? If someone left two sausages outside your front door on your step, what would
not,
you do?
Not one, but two.
How would you feel?
I mean, yeah, two. I hate to go into the suggestive nature of this gift or proposition.
Do the eyebrows. Do the eyebrows, Nabil.
You know.
Are you saying, Nabil, that the gift of sausages is sort of... There might be, is no accident, that they might be...
Suggestive.
They might be suggesting something with the sausages.
They might be suggesting that she comes across...
Do the eyebrows again.
She might come across as a very hungry woman. You know, two sausages...
I mean, we can't be sure it's not two people leaving a sausage each.
That's, oh my God.
Right, the same plastic bag?
That totally,
no, as in they're in cahoots.
Once somebody went, oh, they've left a sausage as well. So I'm going to slip mine into that bag.
I think it's just one person.
Sorry, that sounded so wrong.
I know.
This is what she says, right?
Right.
There's definitely more romantic ways to go about declaring your love. I think she's right there. We can all admit there are more romantic ways than putting two frankfurters in a plastic bag.
She's got a point.
She's got a point.
At least batter them first.
Well, that's not far. Her idea. Her ideas. If they were looking for romance, they should have at least included their mobile number. Yeah, that's the only thing they did wrong. They got it all right, really. They put two frankfurters in a plastic bag, put a note saying, I will always love you. And the only reason they went wrong is because they didn't put their phone number. That's what it was.
Looking for a little romance. He's not Christa Berg, is it?
Or she says, maybe replace them with plane tickets. The sausages.
What?
It says, maybe next time replace the sausages with plane tickets. We could do with some of them after the year we've had.
Yeah. Wow.
She says, on her post on Facebook, she says, it's given people something to smile about. We live in one of those towns where all they talk about on the Facebook group is dog shit.
Does she mean literal dog poos? Or... Yeah.
You know, one of those towns where all they talk about on the Facebook page is dog shit.
No, but does she mean, oh, this is dog shit? Or do you mean genuinely... No,
dog poo.
Dog like, plops.
Dog poops.
And this actually dog made it into a paper. Yeah.
Have you been on the Croydon Facebook group a bit?
Yeah, we have slightly more to talk about in Croydon.
than who's hung a bag of dog poop on a gate in the village.
It sounds like they've got a town crier. Hear ye, hear ye. The town bachelor strikes again.
I had a friend. I've got a friend who lives in Blyth in Northumberland, and I was with him, and we were stood in the street, and a bloke came up to us and said, he was like a proper old school sort of shady character. He just went, psst, psst. We looked, and he went, do you want to buy six rats? And I was like, no, I'm all right. And he, honestly, this is what he said. He went, they're quality rats, Lake. And I was like, no, honestly, rats. I'm fine. And he went, high tech cage. And I went, no. And he gave me like a playful punch on the arm as if like you're missing out here, and went walking off. About 2 weeks later, my mate Kai Humphreys saw on his local Facebook group, someone said, someone just tried to sell me five rats. So we all wonder what happened to the other rat.
What happened to the other rat? It was sold.
It maybe sold it.
Sold or dead. Or escaped.
What's a high-tech cage?
I don't know. I wish
it'd be a rat cage with, like, with you know, all singing, all dancing, top-of-the-range rat cage.
Like the tubes going through to another section.
Yeah,
another
department. Tubes going through to another department.
If you want to see this department of the rat cage.
Yeah.
What level of crackhead do you have to be to not only have rats, but a cage? Yeah. Did he steal them in a cage? Did he have a cage and then go about rat napping?
Yeah, exactly. Which came first, the rats or the like, cage?
How much was he going to sell them? I have so many questions.
I know, I should have asked him more. I missed a trick, Nabil.
So, that's story number one.
Right, okay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Story number two, Nabil, is... I mean, if you thought that one was strange, I'll read you this next one. Before we do, Nabil, I know you, as you revealed on Rod Gilbert's Growing Pains on Comedy Central, I'm not sure when we're putting this podcast out, but maybe the series is still on. Check it out, 9 p.m, Comedy Central, Rod Gilbert's Growing Pains. Nabil Abdul Rashid, who are you on with? Jordan Banjo and...
Joe Brand.
Jordan Banjo and Nabil Abdul Rashid on that particular episode. Check it out. You were a bit of a tearaway as a teenager.
Yes, sadly.
You revealed a few things on that programme, Nabil.
Let's hear the worst one.
You know, like The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. We'll call it The Firecrackers, the Staff Room and the Examination Papers.
Yeah. So secondary school in Nigeria is like a contact sport. Like it's very competitive, and right. So much so that you get your position on your report card.
Yeah.
So like if there's 29 kids, your parents not only find out how that you're stupid, but exactly how stupid you are if you're 29th out of 29. Now I had a friend, like I was one of those kids that didn't need to study to pass. I would get up to all sorts of shenanigans, and I'd still do well. But my partner in crime, who was 2 years older than me, he wasn't like that. He was one of those, well, most people that needed to study. And because he was keeping up with me and my insanity, he didn't do so well in his mock exam, right? And you have to take a mock exam before the school decides whether or not it will let you sit your GCSEs.
Oh, God.
So this guy told me that, bro, I absolutely flunked my exams. I'm finished. And in Nigeria, that's a huge thing. Like, that's... We take education very seriously. So I was like, you know what? Technically, it's my fault that you're about to fail. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And I got like a big empty, like equivalent of a coffee tin. I got a whole bunch of firecrackers and stuffed them in there.
We take education very seriously.
Yeah. So I got this big coffee tin full of firecrackers.
Full of explosives.
And I got these two kids to start a fight outside the PTA office, so they weren't looking through the window.
Oh my
I then
God.
Lit the firecrackers and rolled them into the window.
Can I just ask you a bit? I hate to interrupt you on this story because it's wonderful, but I just... How did you manage to persuade two kids to have a fight to act as a decoy?
Bribery. This is Nigeria. So,
yeah, hang on. So the kids are fighting outside, so all the teachers are watching the kids fight.
Yep.
All the teachers are going, fight.
So they
Pretty much, to be honest, that is what teachers would do when you go into a fight. Teachers would be like, if two students start fighting in class and that shit, she's like, no, leave them. When they're tired, they'll stop. There is no hold me back. It's like, oh, you want to fight? Go on then. Go on. So,
see what happens when you fight. Go on.
Yeah. So there you are now. So there we are now. They're fighting outside. The teachers are watching. Yeah.
Yeah, what so I rolled the tin in through the window because I know that like the exam's been marked,
right?
But whoever's marking them is not going to remember everything by head, and they have to enter it manually into the computer system. You know, so as soon as the firecrackers start going off, obviously the tin it's even louder.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all start running. And I forget to mention, Nigeria was just transitioning into democratic rule at the time. We kind of had
a nice bit of context. It's nice to put it in a historical context, this story.
Yeah. I mean, we were safe because we were in a government-restricted area. But still, you know, it was an effective smokescreen.
Yeah, hey, that must have made such a noise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Especially with the low ceilings in the staff room. It was brilliant. Would have been great for a comedy performance. Anyway, so they all go diving. And I must say, I was disappointed because they did not go through any of the fire safety stuff that they taught us. They just ran. Right? So,
oh, mate.
Just say. So I leapt in through the window, stole all the exam papers, leapt out, went to a field somewhere, burnt the papers, but not before I left my tag on the teacher's table because I had a nickname.
I remember. Oroge. I began with an O.
Yeah, Oroge. So I spray painted it Yeah, I spray painted it on the table.
But hang on. So what? You spray painted the table to show that's your tag. So you to show that you've been there.
Yeah, I got you fuckers again. Because this was part of a number of things I did in school at the time. I was the bane in my teacher's existence. But a lot of the pranks that I pulled, they didn't know was me. Right. And by the way, my friend got to resit his exams and now he's a pilot.
No way. You know. He's a pilot.
He's still thick as shit, but he's a pilot.
Yeah, should he be a pilot?
He's a really shit pilot.
How a guy with a name like Abdul is a pilot in America is amazing in itself. But I'm anyway, can I make this stuff up? So, you know, they tried to, like, make the school grasp up who it was. Like, who's Oroge? And all the boys were like, I'm Oroge. Like a big Spartacus moment. And years later, in assembly, they announced who's being made prefect in front of the whole school every single year. And I get nominated as a prefect. And as I come forward to accept it, my friends are like, so happy they start chanting my name, but they chant the wrong one. And I'm Oroge. I'm just like, what? You know what I do?
Just as you're about to get the badge. Oh, mate.
I can't remember. Did you get the badge, the prefect's badge? Or was it was proceedings brought to a close?
I still got it, but I got a whole bunch of other stuff too. You know, like... you know how in England smacking kids is illegal, but it didn't become illegal straight away. They put in a bunch of laws to make it harder, like you can't bruise the child. Well, let's just say that doesn't really work in Nigeria because we don't bruise. So yeah, after that was not a fun year.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Now listen, I'm going to read you this. But you don't drink, so you'll never have done anything. Well, maybe you have with your checkered past. Maybe you will. Okay, here's your story. Drunk man breaks into family's home and poos in their kettle.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Quite a skill.
Spouting?
Before napping on the sofa. I'll read you the story. Here comes the story. A family was startled.
Of course.
Well, they were awake.
Well, a family was startled to find a drunk stranger in their house, but were even more shocked to find that he'd vomited on their kitchen floor and defecated in the kettle.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
There's a picture of the kettle.
When?
I think it's before or after. It's not. I mean, it's not literally during,
anyway. Has it got a handle at the top of it?
Yeah, what kind of kettle is it?
It is a white... I mean, I can tell you this because I used to work in Curry's.
So you've got the sales pattern down.
Curry's Electrical, Carmarthen, 2 Lammer Street. Curry's Electrical, when I was a kid. I can tell you that this is a jug kettle.
Okay.
And I would guess it's a Phillips, but I can't tell because the shot is from above.
Might be a Morphy Richards then.
It could be a Morphy Richards.
Guys, you know your kettles.
I know my kettles. It's a jug kettle. So that's a high, tall...
Comedians know kettles.
Tall one, quite a thin kettle.
And the top will pop open.
The top will pop open to
put water in.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite remarkable. I'll read on. Quite remarkable.
I've read somewhere that, you know, in travel lodges and stuff, one of the big complaints, do you know this? That people...
I've heard
people
this.
Piss in the kettles.
Boil their underpants. Like, clean their underpants in the little travel kettle.
I've heard that people masturbate into kettles.
Kettle abusers, yeah.
Maybe it's the same person.
That's why I don't make coffee in hotel rooms. I never make coffee in hotel rooms because I know about kettle abusers and I'm... Yeah.
Kettle abusers. Yes, we should stop using kettles in...
Is it true, Julie? I use them all the time, the mini kettle.
I think... Yeah,
I always get really excited by the little mini kettle and the biscuits.
I've heard people clean their pants in them. Maybe that's after they've had a...
I don't mind if people clean their pants in them.
I do.
What do you mean you don't mind?
Well,
when I'm
in a hotel and there's a mini kettle in there, I would always boil it through once first and then use this.
And then take the pants out.
No, so if somebody's washed their pants in there a few days earlier or a few months, I don't mind because I've boiled
it. A few months earlier.
I don't mind too much.
No one's boiling their pants in kettles.
They are.
Well,
why wouldn't they just put the pants in the sink and pour boiling water over them? Why would you put them in a mini kettle? Why would you stuff your pants into a mini kettle?
Because people are insane.
People aren't that insane, are they? Nabil, I mean, we've established Nabil's pretty insane. Would you?
Have you ever done
that? Have you ever washed your pants in a kettle, Nabil?
No, God, no. What kind of monster do you take me for?
It says, the family was shocked to find a stranger. So they found him in the house. An anonymous mum. I can see why she wanted to stay anonymous when somebody's just shat in her kettle. An anonymous mum posted her find on the Spotted in Yeovil Facebook page. I was in Yeovil a couple of weeks ago on tour. Very nice place. Didn't realise this kind of thing went there. Right.
So you didn't just book a travel lodge? You just decided to...
Put on Facebook...
Why did she spot... Hang on, I've spotted my kettle full of someone else's feces.
This is what she posted.
And I'm going to put that on that website.
She posted pictures of the man asleep on her couch.
He fell asleep. He didn't get away.
He broke into their house. Basically, what happened, says here, she says, at the weekend, my husband left our conservatory door open after I'd gone to bed and forgot to close it. Sunday morning, 5 a.m.-ish, my little girl goes downstairs to watch TV instead of waking us up, but immediately comes back upstairs saying there's a man downstairs talking to himself.
Oh, my God.
Didn't Robert Downey Jr. do this?
Yeah,
just break into someone's house?
I'll read on. It might be Robert Downey Jr. Who knows? He's had a shit in their kettle. You're not going to believe this. I got good news and bad news. Hey, darling, I got good news
Robert
and bad
Downey
news. Somebody's
Jr.
had a shit in the kettle. You're not going to believe it. It was Robert Downey Jr.
He's downstairs.
He's downstairs.
Rehearsing a film.
Robert Downstairs Jr. I thought it was just her imagination. Half asleep, I told her to go back to bed, and I'm going back to bed. Anyway, later I go down to make a cup of tea and make breakfast around 7.
She didn't check.
Turns out there is a man talking to himself downstairs.
Oh, my God.
He's still talking to himself an hour and a half later.
I would go down and check if my kid said that.
So she posted a picture of the vomit, which I won't show you. It is a kitchen floor with vomit all over it.
We can imagine that.
We've seen vomit on a kitchen floor before.
She posted a picture of the man who seems to be holding his crotch and talking to himself.
As you do.
On the sofa. And she posted a picture of the kettle. I'm not sure if this... They've blurred the kettle, the inside of the kettle. I'm guessing that they've blurred the dirt inside it.
Hang on, why is she just taking photos of everything instead of freaking out?
She took a photo of all three of them and posted them on the Facebook Yeovil Facebook page.
Is that better than the Croydon one?
Well, it's more interesting than the one in that town
where
I live in the kind of town where people talk about dog poo on the Facebook page.
I live in the kind of town.
Here, much more interesting.
I live in the kind of town where people just do it in kettles. Yeah.
I live in the kind of town where all people talk about on Facebook is how somebody's had a shit in their kettle.
I hope she threw the kettle away.
You know what's mad though? You know when you've usually had a big shock, the first thing you do is have a cup of tea, isn't it?
The first thing is when you find out you've been burgled or something,
can't.
The first thing you do is let's get the kettle on.
So
let's have a cup of tea.
If the police had come round, like, do you want to No, I keep forgetting that why you're here.
See, again though, I wouldn't mind once you've boiled it out and stuff, it's boiling water.
Not someone's
bubs. No, maybe not somebody else's bubs.
Years before I was born, like when my grandfather was still like our high commissioner, like people broke into his house and just went, and like his wife, because my grandfather had 4 wives. Pimp.
Really?
Polygyny is a thing.
Did you just say he was a high? Did he say high commissioner?
Yeah, he was the second ever High Commissioner of Nigeria to UK.
That's insane.
Yeah, I know. His picture's still in our embassy now.
Flipping heck. And he had 4 wives.
Yeah. Again, that was more common than being a High Commissioner, admittedly. But yeah. So
that's
I've got
mad.
Loads of cousins.
Yeah.
What did the High Commissioner of Nigeria have to say about his son setting fire to the exam papers in the field?
Did he know about that?
I mean, that's the sort of thing he'd probably do when he was younger as well. So dudes broke into his house with the intention of stealing stuff, right? And his wife was cooking and they just sat down and ate.
No way.
Like they literally just, oh, that really smells good. And said, oh, why not just eat? And they sat down and ate.
No.
Did they then continue with the burglary?
No, they sat down, they ate, she made them tea, there was all this food going on. And they after like eating their meal and whatnot, they walked out and police were waiting for them. And they're like, oh.
No.
At least they had a good meal.
Like, what did you think was going to happen? You think we were just going to say, thank you, come again? Like, really?
Luckily
for them, my grandfather wasn't around at the time. It was, I think, one of the someone else in the house to call the police. Because my grandfather had a massive collection of guns.
Oh, wow.
He was a gun nut. Like, I think after he died, they confiscated about 50 from his house.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
50 like, guns. So,
and like his brothers, like these guys, like I've got great uncles that were deployed in World War II, served in Burma. So like they were that kind of family.
Right.
So they couldn't have picked a better day.
Yeah, they went in and got a hot meal.
My life's really boring by comparison. I'm just starting to feel my life was really boring.
Well, it is.
That kind of family.
Yeah.
You know High commissioner, that kind of family. Four wives, 50 guns, that type. You know the ones.
Yeah.
That is mad, though. They chose one day to go in where they got fed instead of properly hurt.
Led.
Right. Back to this story. So she decides, as we said, first thing you do in a shock like this, what do? You make a cup of tea. But when she brought the water to the boil, she realised she was boiling the man's turd.
Oh my God.
We quickly found out, she says, he defecated inside our kettle.
Oh,
that's disgusting. Gonna make a tea.
Why would you do that? I cannot get inside the mind. I can't. You read about these stories of somebody that's got drunk and done something, you know, got broken into somebody's house and done
weed
this
weed in
that.
A cupboard, weed in a wardrobe, thinking it was a toilet.
But to poo into a kettle is such an act of, I mean, such skill, dexterity.
Maybe he thought it was a travelodge.
Even if you think it's a travelodge, other hotels are available. But even then.
But it's impressive because he obviously didn't leave any around the side, or she would have noticed that when she put the kettle on.
So he's so cleanly got it in, unless he cleaned up after himself.
But he might have given the kettle on.
It's fascinating. Man. Isn't it fascinating?
It's horrendous.
He's pulled it out, not got any of it anywhere, just got it perfectly clean, and then gone to sleep on the sofa.
Vile.
Not vile isn't the main thing, though, is it? It's baffling.
It's baffling.
I mean, it's definitely vile, don't get me wrong. I'm not disagreeing. It's definitely vile, but it's baffling of why you would do that.
And drunk
doesn't do it. Drunk doesn't cover it, does it?
No.
We've all been drunk, apart from Nabil. We've all been drunk. We've all done. But did he get on the unit and then squadron bring the kettle down to him?
I don't know. Barry?
I've never done it before. I'm trying to. I mean, I can't imagine he was sort of crouched on the kitchen counter.
It's hard to picture that.
Yeah.
Especially
if he's
drunk.
Especially
if he's drunk.
Yeah.
He would have made a bit more of a mess.
As well.
That's true. I don't know. But like, you know, when you're trying to make a cup of tea in someone else's house, it's impossible, isn't it? Because you don't know what anything is.
People responding. Naturally, it says here, people responding to the social media post lost their minds. It received over 2,000 likes.
What? Likes?
2,500 likes for somebody shutting our kettle.
God.
Some of the people here are suggesting what you should do to him.
Oh, dear.
Oh, they're not all pleasant. It's only me, says, he deserves a good kicking and then nailing to a door.
So specific.
What? With which one?
Nail him to a door. Right. Yeah, so you've got him on permanent display in your house.
What's that? Oh, it's the man who shouted our kettle once.
Look at this one. People are so weird. Chezza Woody says he should be locked up and sent to a prison in Scotland, cold and far away. So the job now, Nabil, it falls to all of you to decide which of those are the frothiest stories, by which I mean which is the biggest non-story, which of those stories wasted your time. I'll remind you of them. We had the woman with the odd love message. The second one was the family who had a drunken intruder who vomited on the kitchen floor, talked to himself on the sofa, fell asleep, and not before having a shit in their kettle. Which of those, Nabil, do you think is the biggest waste of time? Which is the frothiest of those two frothy stories?
I mean, they're both quite frothy, but at least with the kettle poo. The kettle poo one, that is a lot harder to fake. Whereas the sausage one, you know, that could have just been her. I mean, we already see people from that part of town don't really have much to do. So I would say that double sausage love is...
You're saying you think that the sausage woman might actually have just faked it, stuck two sausages in a bag and a little note, put it on there just to get attention on social media.
Or to make her husband jealous. I agree, it should be the double sausage.
You want to go for the double sausage?
Yeah, because I think the other one is interesting to know about, isn't it?
I'm not sure if it is interesting to know about, really. If I turned on the news at 10 and the first story was about somebody shat a shit in somebody else's
bang.
Kettle.
Bang.
Bang. Listen a bit. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
What are you up to this week?
Oh, I'm just gigging a bunch. I've got a gig tonight and a gig tomorrow and a gig after that. Pretty much just gigging. It's just, you know, I kind of have like this survivor's guilt when I talk to other comics on the circuit I bump into, because they're like, how's it going? Oh, there's no gigs. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's terrible.
There's no gigs because you're doing all of them. You're not leaving any gigs for anyone else.
As immigrant coming over here, taking all our gigs. <it's amazing. laughs>
Exactly that, mate. Are you, and how has, since Britain's Got Talent, did that change everything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm just excited to see what it brings, you know? And so also, my kids are proud, so...
Of course.
That means a lot.
Where can we see you, Nabil? I'd love to see you.
If any of your followers does social media and they're not the kind to report posts, they're more than welcome to follow me. If they are the kind that do, they need to leave me alone because I've been banned too many times.
What social media you're on and what's your handle?
What's your handle?
So I'm Nabilu on Twitter. That's N-A-B-I-L-U. And on Instagram, I'm Man Like Nabs. Don't judge me. Man Like Nabs. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate your
pleasure. Yeah. Let's
and do you know
it
what,
again.
Mate? You'll let this. I mean, this podcast is going to boost your profile no end. This.
Oh, God.
You never know. You might get a couple of sausages out of it.
Yeah, your sausages are in the post.
I'm a big meat eater, so.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, we put three in, bugger it.
Thanks for listening.
Remember, you can find us at The Froth Podcast and our YouTube channel, where you'll get extra froth content.
Don't forget to like and subscribe and rate us at 5 stars and spread the word if you enjoyed it.
This podcast was a Llan Bobl Vision production, produced by Barry Castagnola at Russell Up Productions.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.